Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Amen. It sounds better when you put amen, right? Yeah. So, authority and submission in the context of the house. That's what we're going to talk about. Remember, what's our background? What is chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 17? It is good teaching. Christ is all in all. Christ changes your mind. Christ is all you think. You live your life not for yourself, for your dreams, for your goal, for your little world. You live for Christ. You want kingdom to come. You want his kingdom to grow. You want to preach the gospel. And also he talks about, he touches our identity. Who are you? I'm a new person in Christ. Who are you? I am separated for Christ. I'm holy to the Lord. All of that, it's our background. Why am I telling you this? Because now Paul, he's going to touch about authority and submission. Paul is going to talk about house, where we spend most of our days, and work, where we spend most of our days. And what amazes me, it's what I don't see here. It's what I don't find in the text. The Bible amazes us for what it's written here, but also sometimes it amazes us with what it's not found here. Pay attention to this very carefully. Paul, when he wants to change things, when he wants to change community, when he wants to change the environment, he goes to the family and to the work, and he doesn't go to politics. Because nowadays, in our contemporary Christianity, it is not wrong, it's not sin. But when we want change, where do we go? Politics. I don't like what my kids are being taught in school, therefore, I'm going to protest. Therefore, I'm going to vote someone. Therefore, I'm going to vote more conservative. Therefore, I want someone who has the power. I want some judge to change the laws, to eradicate something, to amend another thing. And that's the way we're going to change our community. But Paul, he doesn't mention politics as a means to change the environment. And then I don't see this in the text. And that's the first thing we do. We want change, we vote the right person. And we should vote the right person. We want change, we put a Christian guy in a good position that he could do something. That's not the way Paul approaches that. And I ask myself some questions. And maybe there are three reasons Paul doesn't mention politics here as a means to change the environment, as a means to change the community. And maybe the first reason, it is that he doesn't want us to put our hopes in politics. Do not put your hope on the parliament in Ottawa. Do not put a hope in a nice MP, in a nice Christian prime minister, in a nice conservative president. Back in my country, Brazil, we had a president, the later one, who had family views, who had Christian ideologies, and the people loved him to a certain point to become an idolatry, to the certain point that your whole hope is in one man, Your whole hope became politics. Paul is maybe teaching us that's not how you're going to see change. Second reason, maybe Paul is teaching us the system is corrupted. Back in the days when he was writing, Rome was the empire. Rome was the law. And that law was not biblical. And he's teaching us the day we're going to see a theocracy. Theocracy means God reign. God rules. The day you're going to see a theocracy, it's when Jesus comes back. Not in the falling world, not with the falling creation, but with a new creation, with new heavens, with new earth, in a new Jerusalem. That's when the system, the governing, is going to be pure, beautiful, and lovely. Not now, therefore, don't put your hope in politics. And maybe the third reason he doesn't mention politics here is that he's making a point. We Christians can change the places. We Christians can be salt and light, not too much by our nice ideas, our nice methods, our nice systems of governance, but simply for who we are. Honestly, I, Gustavo, don't need to check the law if I'm allowed to abort or not, because guess what? I am pro-life. I know that a baby is the image and likeness of God. I don't need a law to be passed to teach to eradicate evolution in the school, because in my house, I teach creation. In my house, I teach Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, as it is. So Paul is saying, it's not about here, it's not about the system, it's not about politics. If you understand that Christ is all in all, that Christ changes your mindset, that Christ touches your identity, then you're going to see things changing in your house, in the workplace, wherever you go. Does that make sense? Maybe that's why we don't see politics here as a means of change. So Paul is going to talk about authority and submission in the context of the house, in the context of the family, in the context of work. And now I need to give you background, because there is a reason why he's writing this. So, say yes. Do you want to know how it was the Roman ancient world in their home? Good, thank you. It was like this. 50% of the kids die before adult age for various reasons, many, many reasons. There was something called pater master. Pater equals father in Latin, master, master. And he was the authority. He was the main authority at home, to the point that if he's punishing his son and he thinks his son deserves death punishment, he could apply. Nobody would stop him. Nobody would hold him accountable, because he was the pater master. When the kid was born, when a baby was born, the dad could take the baby, look at the baby, and then decide, this is going to be my son. Or, no, we already have son. I don't want another one. I was expecting a boy and it came a girl. I was expecting a girl and it came a boy. Therefore, I'm shunning and rejecting you. You're going to the street, you're going to the foster care, you're going anywhere but my house. You are not my kid. That was the kind of authority, say with me, authority, that a father had in the house. Do you think that it's applied only to the children or also to the husband and wife? If it's also applied to the husband and wife. As a matter of fact, usually, most of the times, arranged marriage, the man older than the woman for a lot of years, and that increases his authority at home. His wisdom, his strength, his experience also aid to this excessive pater master, excessive father, man, authority, dictatorship. I do everything and whatever I want with no rule. So a good solution for that, politics, not in the eyes of the Apostle Paul. A good solution for that is you put some boundaries and restrictions. And if you feel threatened, call 911 and somebody comes to protect you. Not the way and route Paul takes. Paul is teaching us the Christian household, no matter what's the law, no matter what's the culture, no matter if it's ancient Roman world, no matter if it's 2023, Christian homes are not Durham Christian home. The Christian house, the Christian home is different. Are we on the same page? That's what Paul is trying to teach us about authority and submission. About Christ being all in all. And now I'm going to be very, very quick. Because as you know, I am a single man. So who am I to talk about our current scenario? I can talk about the Romans. I cannot talk about here. But our very current scenario, just that we have a snapshot, just that we have some idea of how this applies to us today. Let's talk first about the man. Can I go? Our current scenario. Sometimes, not always, get home tired of work and you go to the couch and watch TV. And then after TV is watched, what are you going to do? You watch TV once again. And then when the dinner is ready, you don't go to the kitchen. The dinner, you go grab the plate and you come back to where? To the TV. Okay. Yeah. Can you say amen, church? No, don't say amen to that. You look at your kids and you send them to the church. And you send them to the sports. And send them to learn another language. And send them to Spanish class with Gustavo. And you send them everywhere, not because you're a good father, because you want them away. So you can watch TV in peace. Because if they are home, you need to watch cartoon. When they're away, you can watch sports. Okay, I am a male guy. That's the only two things I'm going to talk about men. Now let's talk about the ladies. Yes. Yes. This quote here, I'm going to read so I don't miss anything. It hurts the heart. It doesn't hurt the heart of the ladies only. It hurts the heart of anyone. I could not put this in words or make that beautiful description. the guy's G.K. Chesterton. Okay? He says this: our society has confused women, making them falsely believe that they are free when they are serving a boss, but that they are a slave when they help their husband. And I know you are elder than I, but that's very true in my context. Some ladies feel very free when they are working under a crooked, evil boss who pays them very badly, but complain to be helper, complain to be united when they are doing things at home. Accepts the authority of a boss, but does not accept the authority of the husband. This is very 2023. Me, in my life, okay, and now we finish about gender. Let's talk about everything. I was living in a, you know that I share room before coming to the parsonage. And in one of the houses, room that I live, the police had to come in because the man was about to kill the lady, his wife. Use excessive force. Back in the Roman ancient world, that was accepted. Nowadays, thanks to God, the police comes. I have seen men leaving, divorcing their wives to have an adventure with the young lady. And I have seen the otherwise, the lady divorcing men to live an adventure with the young man. One, this gets me so mad. In some of the cases I saw, the former spouse needs still to pay child care and send money to the new spouse and boyfriend. They refuse to marry. They just want to enjoy but want to be funded by the former divorced spouse. That's the scenario we are at. It was bad in the Roman ancient world. It's still not pretty right now. But in the Christian home, what is Paul expecting? Not politics to resolve the problem. Not politics to intervene. He expects that the Christian home be the place that changes happen. That all these that I told you, may it be only a foreign concept. May it be the neighbor. May it be somewhere else. May it be only the news, not our reality. And so now the Apostle Paul is going to tell to the wives, wives, submit to your husbands because this is fitting in the Lord. Do we have the first point? Yes. To the wives. What do I have here? Shoes. What do I have here? Suit. If I take my brother's shoes, does that fit me? No, he has a big foot. If I get his suit, does that fit me? No, he's stronger than me. That's what Paul is saying. Ladies, wives, submit to your husband. Because that fits you. If it's oversized, which is the case when the woman wants to take the control, say what I tell and you do, I rule, I command, I do, you need to listen to me, and blah, 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 blah. Oversized. Doesn't fit. You can wear. If I get something that it's larger than me, I can fit, but it looks terrible. Correct? Very bad. And if I go a tailor a size that it's smaller than what it should be mine, which is the opposite. It's the household that understands submission as slavery, which is the household that understands authority as dictatorship. That's the undersize. That one doesn't even fit. I could try to put my foot on a small shoe, doesn't go in. I could try to use a small suit, doesn't go in. So that's what Paul is teaching us. Don't oversize, don't undersize. Do what it's fitting to you in the Lord, which is submit to your husband. I love the subject of submission. If you don't submit, you cannot lead. The more you submit, the more authority you have. No matter if you are a prime minister, no matter if you are a king, no matter if you're rich, poor, no matter who you are, all of us are under authority. None of us are above the law. All of us are accountable to someone, to something. And spiritually speaking, all of us are accountable to God. Therefore, if we don't learn how to submit, we lose our authority. Therefore, what Paul says to the wives, wives, submit to your husband as it is fitting to the Lord. Second person, now he's going to talk about the authority. He first talked about the one who is in position of submission. Now he's going to talk about the one in position of authority. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And what is love? You know the song? What is love? No? Okay. The song says this. What is love? Yeah. So, illustration. You're talking to the boss, the man in authority, and you are the employee, the man in submission. And the boss tells you, we appreciate you so much. We love what you do. You have so much potential. You're gonna grow. I'm amazed. But love, love that it's good, it's not shown to us. We get more responsibility. We get more work. We get more stress. Same pay. But I'm not all of that. You say you see me doing this, doing that, growing this, give me responsibility. But giving me a raise according to the workload you want to give me, you don't want to give me. That's only saying. That's only blah, blah, blah. But what is love? Love is action. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey. Love is action. You don't need to tell me I deserve a raise, I'm awesome in this, and never give to me, and never do it. You cannot just tell to your wife, I love you, but not act. Although ladies really need to hear that they are loved, right? You need to speak, you need to do, you need to show, you need to listen, you need to buy flowers, you need to do a lot of actions. Hey, guess why I'm single? I don't want to do overtime. So, back to here. Love is action and authority. Paul is teaching us something very precious. It's to be used for the others. We don't like when we vote people, we don't like when the people we trust, they get to power, they get to the place of authority, they have access to the information we don't have. They have access to the resource we don't have. And instead of using for our good, they use for themselves. They use to perpetuate in power. They use for their own benefits. Paul is teaching the husband something very, very important. Love your wife. Use your authority for them. Use your authority for the family. Use your authority, the information, the resources, your hard work, your talents, everything for the others, not for yourself. You are not the end goal of your authority. And love is not the end goal. You don't love yourself. You cannot go to the mirror and say, I love myself, how good it is. You love someone else. You use your authority for someone else. That's what Paul is teaching us here. And love is action. Wives, submit. This fits you. Husband, love, because that's the best way you show and you use your authority. Children, I am not a husband, I'm not a father, but I am a child. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Who here has lost their parents? Raise your hand, because I know most of us, yes. Who still has parents, at least mama or dad? Okay, good. I understand that when you're a kid, they have more authority on you. When you are adult, they have what? Less authority on you. There is no more boundaries. There is no more that close accountability. But here what Paul is saying is that always and always, as long as your parents are alive, there is this honor and there is this obedience. If you are a successful kid, your parent is going to be proud of you at adult age. If you are a failure, your parents are going to be very frustrated, no matter what's the age. And listen, submission and authority, listen how beautiful and precious Paul is teaching us here. He's teaching us to obey as a principle, not as a season. I used to obey, I used to honor when I was under their same roof. Now they're away, now I live on another country, who cares? No, Paul is showing us that the principle is so beautiful. That authority and submission is something that is so godly, so spiritual, that he's teaching us this. The authority now is less. The boundaries now is less. But whatever there is still there, honor. For example, sometimes I need to call my mom to ask some questions, some advice. And her word has more weight than anyone else. Because children, obey your parents. She has less authority. The scope of authority decreased. Because I'm an adult. But whatever she still has in the scope, I want to honor. I want to obey. I want her and my dad to be heard. Because the principle is eternal. I change. My circumstances change. The spectrum of authority change. But the principle is still the same. Therefore, I want to make sure I honor that. And I want them to know that I honor that. That's what Paul is teaching us. And even more, because we have a Heavenly Father. All of us need to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. Nowadays, 2023, most of the preaching, most of the sharing of Jesus, it's just get Jesus with no obedience. Just accept him and everything is okay. There is no obedience attached. There is no commitment attached. There is no father figure to a son. And Paul is reminding us, children, earthly and spiritually, obey your parents. Children of God, obey your heavenly Father. That's what Paul is teaching us here. He is in authority. God is in authority. We are in submission. And lastly, Paul is going to address the parents. Verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Embitter. This word, it's the context I gave you. Because the father had all the authority, maybe he uses excessive use of authority. And when he does that, he could kill in the Roman ancient world. He could permanently damage his children. Or he could maybe traumatize their children. And thanks to God, we have a 911 today. But I see some areas that we could pay attention. Physically, we just said it. Do not, you know, use excessive force of to your son. Solomon says you use the rod for discipline, not for damage. It's more to scare than any other thing. It's more to take the kid to pay attention to your words than to damage the kid. The use of the rod. We never, parents should never use the rod when they are angry, when they are under not control, when they lose self-control. Not. Physically. Emotionally, when we attack the identity, you're a loser, you're bad at math, you're terrible at sports, your sister is better than you, your brother is better than you, you are my favorite kid, you are not my favorite kid. You touch the identity emotionally of the kid. And third, spiritually. When there is roadblocks to the spiritual life. Yeah, you go to the church. I'm not going. You're going to the church not often. When there is no modeling of prayer, where there is no modeling of scriptures, when there is no Bible teaching inside the home, when we make the church contractor. If you want to be spiritual, go to the church and Gustavo is going to teach you. Not here at home. I don't do that. And then the kids, the son becomes discouraged. You know that I work on Tuesdays in the ministry, that it's the music ministry. And I see teenagers, I see kids with their parents. And I can guarantee you, I'm 29 and it's too loud for me. I'm 29 and sometimes I'm like, you know, it's time to go home. How much more them? But they are there because they know if their kids are there, that's the best place they could be. If their kids are begging to be on a worship night to praise the Lord Jesus and to hear the word of God, they're gonna do and they're gonna be there. They're gonna take the loud music. They're gonna take whatever. But they want their kids to be encouraged, not discouraged. Because they understood, fathers, do not embitter your kids. Physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And if you pay attention, out of the four ordinances Paul gave, this is the only one that it's in the negative. Submit, positive. Love, positive. Obey, positive, but this one, negative. Make sure you don't do that. Train yourself to not do that. Pay attention to not do that. Because you want your kids, you want the next generation to be encouraged. Amen? From verse 1 to 17, Paul talks and talks and talks, building the church of Colossians up. This is who you are in Christ. I am encouraging and lifting you up. I'm protecting you from false teaching. Christ is all in all. The last thing he wants is that when people walk out of the church, at home, discouragement comes. At home, identity is attacked. At home, people are not saved. At home, authority is not respected. At home, submission is not accomplished. Therefore, Paul switched gears from good teaching to practical life. He's saying, I do not want that the teaching I'm giving you be diminished, be nullified, be depreciated by the way we live. Therefore, let's bring this teaching to our home. Then we're going to be encouraged. And I want to conclude this sermon. We didn't read everything for the sake of time, but from this chapter 3, verse 18, to chapter 4, verse 1, Paul mentions the word in the Lord, for the Lord, pleasing the Lord, 9 times. 9 times in this very short section. What is he teaching us? He's teaching us that Christ is all in all. He's teaching us if you became a father, Christ is all in all. Use your authority as he used. If you're a single man like me, be single as you should, in purity and in holiness, because Christ is all in all. If you became a mother, a wife, whoever you became, whatever the season of your life, Christ is all in all. Secondly, that I want to call your attention. Home and authority was a challenge in the Roman Empire, and it's a challenge today, and it's going to be a challenge tomorrow. Always and always. Therefore, we always need to remind ourselves. It's a good reminder. None of us are doctors in this respect, in this regard here. All of us are always and always learning to love the wife better, to submit better, to obey better, to encourage better. All of us. And so this is a very, very good reminder that outside the world does not define us. Outside the world, it's not our culture. But we are from another culture. We encourage, we submit, we obey, and we love. Because that's who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen.